but my voice is great. Well, before I get started, there's just some things I got to do tonight. And I didn't tell the ladies this, but Stana, but I have to have the Roar Prayer Line team stand up here. Candy in here. So I want you to pay attention to everything tonight because it's all going to flow together. Because there's going to be a question that you're going to have to answer at the end of the night because it's very personal. Your relationship with God is a personal thing. It's so personal, but it's so powerful because it links you together. But you have to see faith in action. And this is faith in action. I stand up here with soldiers and veterans. And I was just reading in 1 Corinthians about when the enemy, it said he, to this day, the enemy is upset about Jesus being sent to the cross and resurrecting because the power that it brought. See, if the enemy would have knew about the resurrection, Michelle, he wouldn't have wanted it to happen because that resurrection is why each and every one of us have power today. So it says in his word that if they would have knew the glory that would have come from it, they wouldn't have sent him. So there's a lot of things that don't make sense. And me being a part of the intercessors never made sense. I got to be honest with you. I was like, why, God? I'm a little girl, little single girl. This is the businesswoman, the mother, the grandmother, the daughter, the sister, the cousin, the aunt, the pastor's wife, the pastor, the prophet, the book writer. And I was like, then there's Tiff. What would she have here? But I want to tell you today that you are seeing faith in action, that each and every one of these women, they have a struggle. They have a situation. When people pour out of in their life and they share and they're vulnerable and they pray for you, let me tell you what. There are some things in life, I want everybody to hear this, that only you need a touch from God to do. There is things in life that only when you get a touch from God, it's impossible if you don't have it. Jess, you can't do it. And these women are blessed. I am blessed. God says to give honor where honor is due. So tonight, I give God the glory, but it would not be right for me to not honor these women today for their sacrifice, their prayers. They took me under their wing chew. I'm like their little baby. One day, everything I ever learned, God's given me so much godly counsel, it's honestly too much. Because if I try to sneak away a little bit, Tiff, where you at? What you doing? What's going on? And I'm just like, God, give me a minute. So I love yous. I don't know what I would do without yous, and I just feel honored to be the baby at a bunch, and I love yous. I love you. And I have to do one more thing. I need my pastors up here, because I am a seed of Adam, too, but not tonight. Adam was my youth pastor, okay? So again, I want to show you faith in action, because see, God wants to know, Do you believe that he could do what he called you to do through you? See, it's easy to believe it for everybody else, but do you believe that God really called you? Do you believe that you could really fight this battle with God? Do you believe that God's really anointed you? Do you believe it? So I stand up here today honored. Not only are they my pastors, but they are my family. And I tell them this a lot, and their grandparents, they have, if you could see in the spirit, they have so many hats. They have so many titles. He's a businessman. She's a grandmother, a mother-in-law. There's so much here, but they always make time for the Lord. They've been believing, walking by faith for 14 years for the vision of this church. Give God some praise. Let me tell you what, I do a New Year's resolution to try to lose 2 pounds, 2 hours in, Daisy, and I'm out. 14 years, he's working, stepping on faith, partnering together. I have to give honor where honor's due tonight. You have to see faith in action. We have to see soldiers. So I love you guys. You're awesome. Charge. So I want to pray tonight, and God has a specific and strategic word because it's a vital and specific strategic time. And yesterday when the army truck showed up, literally like in the spirit, the Holy Spirit said, get ready because you're going somewhere. See, we didn't get saved just to talk in tongues and have our little Christian huddles and just continue to lay hands over the same situation. No. And if we're thinking like that, that's a trigger that we got a small mindset, that we don't have a kingdom mindset. We're having a me mindset. And God wants you to have a kingdom mindset because he desires to give you kingdom connections. He desires to give you open doors, not just one, double doors. He desires to give you abundant life. But sometimes that's my alarm. Time to pray. So when I seen that truck pull up yesterday, my spirit quickened in me and said, oh, we got to go. And before you go somewhere, what do you have to do? You got to prepare. You got to know what you're going to do. You can't show up somewhere if you're not prepared, right, Jane? You can't go somewhere if you don't know what you're going to do there. And God doesn't want us immature. God doesn't want us walking around like this all of our life. God wants us mature. God wants us on the meat. God desires to give you meat. God desires to make it new in your life. God desires to share his plan with you while you're on earth, so it will come to pass. Do you believe it? Do you believe it tonight? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. So that is why it is so powerful that we speak the Word, because the Word is what makes life happen. So if we're not speaking the Word, is life really happening? Yes, we live in a reality. Yes, we have things happen in our life. Yes, situations go on. But I want to know, is God in your situation? Is God in your life right now? Are you in relationship with him? Is he doing anything new in your life? If the rapture was to come right now, would you honestly go? Listen, this weekend has been life-changing. And that's what happens, Joanne. When you get in the presence of God, you can't be the same. And let me tell you something tonight. The enemy, I want you to look at your feet. I want you to look at your feet and look at the ground. Every person, I don't care how old you are, because God is not a respecter of age. He is not a respecter of person. Josiah was a king at 8 years old. So God, like I said, he does it a little different than we would do. If an 8-year-old was the president, we would think something's not normal. But God does it different. So this area you are on right now is a threshold. This area you are on right now, listen, here's the deal. He said it to me loud and clear. You can't stay here. You can't stay here. So you got to make up your mind, because your mind doesn't make itself up. You make your mind up. I have to put my mind together in the morning. I got to get my mind straight. So here's the deal. This ground that you're on right now, you can't stay here. It's not meant to live. It's not meant to dwell. It's meant to be a preparation place. It's meant to be a threshold. It's meant to be an opening for what's about to come. It's meant to take you to a new place. Just like the children of Israel, when they was on the Kadesh Barnea, and they was either, they was getting the report from the 12 spies, and the decision they was talking about it, what they seen in the land, and they was at this land, and either the choice was this, either the promised land, or you keep wondering, but you can't stay here. Tonight, in the physical, no, the pastors want to go home. You can't stay here. But in the spirit, you can't stay where you're at. Either you're growing or you're not. It's that simple tonight. Either you're for him or you're not. It's that simple tonight. We serve a God that made too many colors. He's not. He's too big. He's too much for me to put him in a little water bottle. He's too much for me to try to mock. God can't mock or be deceived tonight. If he spoke it, somebody needs to know. He's going to do it. If he said it, it has to get accomplished, Nikki, because he's God, and it's for his point. And listen, God loves each and every soul in here. It don't matter. Listen, God is not concerned about your church attendance. Maddie said it earlier. He does not. Let me tell you, he cares about the heart, because there is people that sit in church their whole life that ain't changed, that ain't filled with the Spirit, that's not pleasing God, that's literally just taking and breathing up breath. And let me tell you tonight, he loves each and every person so much in here. And his love is the greatest weapon. His love is the bestest weapon. His love is a weapon that is so forceful and so mighty that it caused him to send his son to go to a cross. And we don't say that lightly. But his love is so real that he wants you to be awakened. He wants you to be equipped. Let me tell you why God wants you to be awakened. When somebody wakes you up in the morning, why? Because you got something to do. He doesn't want you to miss out on what he has for you. He doesn't want you to miss out on the good plan. He doesn't want you to miss out on the blessings. He doesn't want you to miss out on his presence. And as children of God, each and every person in here tonight, under the sound of my breath, there's different people from different walks, but let me tell you, we're all going one way. There's one door. There's one door tonight. Listen, in life, there's many paths, but there's one straight and narrow. And no longer can the body of Christ be deceived, because we are on a time limit. Because see that army truck? Whatever soldiers are in there, that's the soldiers that's gone. And see, let me tell you what. There's always going to be a war going on. There's always going to be something you're battling. There's always going to be a decision that you got to make. And the enemy would want you to believe you don't have any decisions. You don't have a life. You don't have any decisions. You can't do anything. And this is your life. This is your lot. Make your bed and stay in it. Well, let me tell you what, child of God, that is a lie from the pits of hell, because your God has given you a choice. Your God has released a free will unto your life. So with saying all that, I want to pray for you, and then I want you to stretch your hand and pray for me. But if you're ready to go, listen, we've been to church. We've been to Roar all week. I know everybody in here. Maybe you're watching church online. Maybe it's your first time in a church. Welcome to church. But listen, all I'm saying is I don't need any more church. Who wants to keep doing church? We need the presence. We need the deliverance. I need miracles. See, Elsie, I'm hungry to speak the word. You want to know why? Because when I speak the word, miracles, signs, and wonders accompany me all the days of my life, that I don't have to go chase them down. They're chasing me down, sister. They're coming after me. I just spit something out. You better watch, because them miracles, signs, and wonders, they're going to get in your way, because they're following me. And that's because we're speaking the word. That's because we're living in the word. See, let's pray. Let me pray. Father God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for this time, my God. Lord, I thank you. What an honor and what a privilege, God. What an honor, God. What an honor, God, to be prepared. What an honor, God, to love you. What an honor, God, to serve you, God. Lord, tonight I just surrender myself, God. Tonight, God, I surrender hearts, God. We surrender and commit this hour to you, God. Lord, pour out your spirit, God. Lord, there's desperation and expectancy in this room tonight, God. And if you don't move, it's not going to happen. If you don't speak the word, it's not going to happen, God. So, Lord, I'm asking that you change hearts in here, God. You hold the king's hearts, Father. I'm asking, Lord, that you would take down them strongholds, God. I'm asking tonight, God, that you would fill them and empower them with your Holy Spirit, my God. Lord, touch, put your hand on your heart. God, we just pray over our heart right now, God. Lord, good soil, good soil, good soil, God. Good soil, God. Remove the stones, God. Replace it with flesh, my God. Lord, we need a place for this word to live, God. We're desperate. We're hungry, God. Satisfy us tonight, my God. Thank you for the miracles that's in the room, my God. Thank you for the deliverance, God. Thank you, Lord, that the gift is here, God. The Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you, God, that people's going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight, God, that deliverance is happening tonight, Father God, that chains are breaking tonight, God, that reconciliation and marriages and renewal of minds, my God, that addictions are being cast out tonight, God, that a new right relationship with you is being established. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I was saying, there's some things that you have to have a touch from God about. You have to have God's hand on your life. And there's some people in the Bible that the Lord's been showing me that before they had a work to do, God touched their life and radically changed it. And you know, sometimes in our life, we want to already in our mind kind of evaluate, well, what's God's work and what's my work? You know, some people are so easy to hurry up and just be like, well, I mean, I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to go feed the homeless. It's like we almost like name the work of God. But what about your marriage being restored? What about your family being saved? What about your business prospering? Is that not God's work? See, we can't do God's work, Miss Mel, in the flesh. It has to be done in the spirit. We have to get in tune and in touch with Holy Spirit. And I encourage every person in here tonight, listen, I'm a believer and being filled with the Holy Spirit, that you need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit to do what God has called you to do. It's in His Word. He leaves you this gift that edifies, this gift that builds up, this gift that teaches you. Don't you want that? Do you want that tonight? Don't He leads you. He's the one that determines your choices in life. And I was thinking about people that got a touch from God. And I was thinking about the struggle that they went through with it. Because automatically, sometimes I just got to make it real tonight. We think that when God touches our life, we're just going to zoom through it. God touch me, zoom. Right? One touch, that's it. You need many touches in life. God takes you from glory to glory and faith to faith. And you need many touches. And as the body of Christ, yes, we suffer hardship. Yes, we suffer persecution. Yes, we go through hard times. Just like Zerubbabel, he got a word from the Lord to go and rebuild the temple. And what happened? There was a mountain in his way. What did he do? Did he go and complain about it? Did he go and talk about it? No, he talked to it. He said, flatten out, straighten out in the name of Jesus. I got God's work to do, and I'm not letting this mountain in my way. I want to know tonight, are you truly convinced that God has called you? Are you truly convinced that you're saved? Are you truly convinced that the power of God is real? Are you truly convinced that God can work and live through you? Again, it's so easy to always make it about preaching in a microphone and all of that. Let me tell you, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about at all. Maybe your job is just to raise children in the Lord. Maybe you're raising up a little minister baby one day, Jess, that's going to, I don't know, pastor a church. Or maybe just feed. It doesn't matter. And sometimes I think we get so obsessed with just a microphone or a pulpit or all this and that. And it's almost like everything else is being wasted. And the Lord was reminding me of some of the indicators that we as Christians have been using to determine what's from God and what's not. And He brought me, thank you, Jesus. He brought me to, hold on. Thank you, Jesus. Can we turn these lights off? One second. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hold on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, God. Lord, we just take authority right now in the name of Jesus. We just take authority right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, God. He took me in 2 Corinthians. I can't find it. But it says where we are persecuted but not abandoned, struck down and not destroyed. Okay? And he took me to this scripture and he was just reminding me how sometimes as Christians in the body of Christ, we use these as indicators to determine if we're doing the right thing or not. And I want to tell you today that those are false indicators. And that if you are going through that, you are in the right place at the right time. See, we can't use our flesh to tell us if the Spirit is leading us or not. That's the work of the Spirit. We can't go by our emotions anymore. True faith is not an emotion. Faith is a substance of something hoped for, the evidence of the not seen. And this is why the enemy wants to take your faith down. Because without this, you can't please God. Without this, you can't pray. Without this, you can't believe. Without this, you can't hope. Without this, you have nothing. Without this, listen, we've been talking about the armor of God. And I'm sure everybody knows about the armor of God. It's the identity of Christ. But there's something specific about the shield of faith because it's a defense weapon. And this is the only piece of armor that comes with a promise that it will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. It's not a maybe, it's a will. But what happens is we're not walking in the Holy Spirit. See, we put our shields down after they get hit with the dart. And see, sometimes we can believe that because we have a shield, that doesn't mean that arrow is not going to hit. That doesn't mean that that your helmet's not going to get busted up a little bit. See, there's things that when a soldier is on a field, we have a misunderstanding and we think, oh, because we have the armor on, we're not going to get hit. No, it means you're going to be protected. He is your shield and he is your buckler. He is the one that goes before you. He's your rear guard. He's the one that watches over you. He's the one who covers you. It doesn't mean you're not going to experience this. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through hard times. Let me tell you what, praying and believing for a miracle, praying and standing for 14 years on a vision from God, you better believe that there's emotions that come up. This is just the reality of it. You better believe that there's discouragement, that there's discrimination, that there's loneliness, that there's hopelessness tries to get in. Isn't there moments of it? Aren't we human? Right? Amen. Is this okay? Can I just be real tonight? I just got to let the Spirit lead me. And what happens is we think that this one touch from God is going to, it's like we're just going to fly right through it. We just think that we're not going to experience nothing. It's going to be a piece of cake, a piece of pie. Nothing bad's going to go. Everything's going to go smooth. And let me tell you, that's a lie. These people in the Word, God give us this Word as an example. They are people that suffered persecution, that suffered heartache, that suffered loss, that suffered famine, but God provided. See, when God gives you a touch, it's not to go home and sit in your bed and say, God touched me. God touched me. And you hoard it all to yourself. It's to do something. See, he touches you so you could get to building. He touches you so you can get to work. Because your marriage being healed, your finances being prosperous, everything is God's business. Because his word, I go back to his word, he says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. So that lets me know right there, he's the maker of all things. And without his word and without it being established, I have nothing. And this touch from God is something that you need to do what you're called to do. But it comes with a price. It does. It comes with a cost. See, everything comes with the cost and everything comes with the price. And just like the children of Israel, They were blessed people. They were the chosen, the kept, the beloved people. But they made a lot of bad decisions. Has anybody made some bad decisions? They made bad decisions. And what did they do? God offered them to give them the land and to give them everything. God made covenant with them. Is anybody in here married? Is anybody in here made a covenant? What's a covenant? Adam's married. He's proud of it. A covenant is a promise. But it's even stronger than a promise. It's like a double commitment. And when God makes a covenant with you, you make a commitment and he makes the promise. And it comes together. And see, you got to do your part and he's going to do his part. And see, here's the choice though. Here's the kicker. See, purpose is going to happen no matter what. He just invites you to be in on it. See, if it wasn't me up here tonight, God's word would still be going out because he is merciful, like Jess sang earlier, the goodness of God. He's always going to get his word across. That's God. But he chooses. You understand what I'm saying? I chose to say yes. See, we can't have our cake and eat it too. Casual sin. The enemy comes at us with casualty. Well, I mean, I don't cuss all the time, just a little. I mean, I don't drink all the time, just a little. I mean, I don't watch stuff bad all the time, just a little. Well, is God coming back for a casual Christian? Was it so much more than that? Let me tell you, what becomes casual is steps. Just like how walking with the Lord, it takes steps. You just don't get up, a baby just don't get up and start running. What's a baby start doing first? It has tummy time. And then what's it do? It sits up. Then what's it do? It starts rolling all over the place like a rolling pin. Then what's it do? It gets up. It's a step-by-step process, and that's what the Lord is. It's step-by-step. And we have come to this place. Remember, the enemy's fought you long, and he's fought you hard because he did not want you to get to this place of where you're at because it's a place you can't stay. It's a place where an instant decision has to be made. It's a place of supernatural. It's a place of strength. It's a place of courage. It is a place of miracles. It is a place of new beginnings. It is a place of belief. It is a place of restoration. But you have to make the choice. You have to do your part. See, your covenant is so vital with the enemy, and he wants you to get out of it. He wants you to break covenant. Pastor Jenna, she asked that. We've been talking about the weapons all week. And I was like, okay, well, I know what I'm going to bring. Duh, prayer. Love to pray, right? And it just like, I was like, no, that's not it. And then the Lord reminded me of Ecclesiastes 4:19, where it says a three-string cord is not easily broken. So my weapon is a covenant. My weapon is my relationship. This stands for relationship. See, your relationship with God is your weapon. Your relationship with God, you, just the fact that you and the truth that you can be in right standing with God, that your righteousness is not something that we put on, it's inside of you. It can't be taken out of you. It's imputed in you because of the finished work of the cross. So your relationship with God, the enemy is jealous of. The enemy doesn't want you to have a relationship with God. The enemy doesn't want you to be in covenant with God. Can we remember some people that was in covenant with God? Abraham. Abraham was in covenant with God, wasn't he? What did he promise him? To be the father of many nations and to give him this and to give him that. Noah was in covenant with God, and God made a promise with the earth to what? Never destroy it again. King David was in covenant with God. And what was it? To be that he would have an heir, that he would have an heir and that royalty would come from his line. And God bless him that Jesus came from the line of King David, that God fulfilled his promises. So I don't have to worry about God doing his part. But my job is to focus on me doing my part. But see, here's the kicker too. The promise is only as good as you think the promise keeper is. And that's a decision that you have to make. Because you can come to church. You can do Bible study. You can watch Jensen Franklin. You can fast and you can pray. You can do all of that. But the promise is as only good as the one that makes it. And that's in reality. And that's just in life in general. So how good is the promise keeper? Do we believe in the eternal life? Do we believe that we are saved from sin? Do we believe that we're forgiven? Do we believe that there's restoration and healing for me? Do you believe it's for you? Do you believe that God would want to do it through you? Do you believe that there is souls and lives attached to your life? Do you believe it? Or do you believe it's just, no, for me and my little people, our little gypsy people, our little culture here, our little clan, and that's it, R5, and no more. I come to tell you tonight that no, the kingdom is a big place. The kingdom is a big kingdom. The kingdom is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And let me tell you God has caused. God allows us to see certain things in our life. And he's been reminding me about Sodom and Gomorrah and how he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with what? Fire. Because it was a wicked place. It was a place of idol worship. And I know some of us in here today aren't going to really, maybe you're not at first, you're going to be like, wow, okay, this is totally crazy, but this is true. As children of God, when the enemy comes at us with these darts, what happens is sometimes they get stuck. Because see, our shield has to be oiled up. And see, sometimes when the shield is not oiled up, what would happen to the Roman soldiers is their shields would burn up. Okay? So some of us have arrows that are in our shield, and they've become strongholds, and now they've become idols. And just like with the children of Israel in Exodus, when he gave the Ten Commandments, what is the Ten Commandments? He gave them to what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? Have no other gods before me. But then what was the second commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness to anything that is in the heavens above or in the earth below, beneath or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation, to those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. So what am I saying to you? He told them twice to have no gods before me. Because if he would have told them one time, he would have said, okay, the children of Israel would have said, okay, no big deal. Because see, they worshiped other gods. See, they worshiped if they needed a god of fertility, a god of this, a god of that. But when the Lord told them, do not make any carved image, don't just serve me as God. I am your God. Worship me as God. That was, God wanted them to know, I am true God. I'm the God who delivered you. I'm the God who set you free. He will not allow man to take his glory. He will destroy. And how does God destroy? With fire. And God wants to destroy some idols in your life right now. God wants to destroy the places in your life that have them shields, that them arrows have sticked in your shield, and they've become an obsession. They've become a stronghold. They have become an adulterous thought, Gab, like you said, a thought that takes your mind off of God. And I want us to do, and again, you answer these in your head, but this is an idol test that I found to see if you have any idols. What can't you live without? What do you want to fix? What do you overcompensate? What do you need to make you happy, stable, or have joy or purpose? What do you think about all day? What makes you uncontrollably anxious, independent, or angry? What gives you purpose, value, and peace? That is the test to take to know if we have idols in our life. Because if there's anything that's besides God that we can answer them to, and please listen, the Lord wants to set us free tonight. God come to save us. Amen. God come to deliver us. God come to restore. God does not want to condemn. God has given us. We are under right now a dispensation of time, a dispensation of grace that He wants you to get filled up. Because I'm just going to make it simple to you. You're going to drink from somewhere. You're going to drink from somewhere. You're going to get filled with something. And God wants you to get filled with Him. See, we need to be filled with something. We need to have something inside of us. And God wants you to drink from the well that you'll never thirst no more. That's the well that God wants you to drink from. That's the place that God wants you to be. He doesn't want you to go to all these other things. He doesn't want you to waste your time. He doesn't want you to waste your energy. Amen. He wants to set you free. He wants to destroy them idols, because let me tell you why. Them idols have the potential to destroy you. Yes, they do. You could look at the rich young ruler. He said, what do I got to do to get to heaven? That was letting me know that there's obviously was something more lacking in his life, that he would ask Jesus, what do I got to do? Because he had everything. He was the rich young ruler. And he said, go sell all your stuff and give it to me. God was testing his heart. See, God tests our heart. God tests our heart to see the level of submission. And right now, God is preparing and training us to be under His authority. And see, your authority, your level of submission requires you to trust the Almighty God. See, you can't put your trust and put your submission into somebody that you don't have a relationship with. And this is why it's so important to get in a relationship with God, to be that three-string cord that is not easily broken, amen, to have a true relationship. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's not about how everybody else prays or, well, I read this or I read that. Listen, you talk to your Holy Spirit. You get in touch with Him. You speak to Him and you let Him tell you how to lead you and guide you, because He's the one that's leading you into truth. And let me tell you, I'm going to be closing soon because we need to pray. Yes. I want to tell you tonight, there's another point that I have to make. And it's very important to know who you're yoked with. This is a true thing because it says in the Word. And if you don't hear anything tonight, you have to hear this. To be friends with the world, you become an enemy of God. And see, we are living in a time to where, listen, God can destroy your soul and your body. God says to fear Him. God is the one that we fear. God is the one that has a wrath, okay? And listen, God doesn't want you to get saved based on a fear from Him, because God is the God of love. When He compels this love, He has this love and this grace. But we have to know the truth about Him, that God doesn't want to hell shock you into the kingdom of heaven. You understand what I'm saying? But it's very important to know who you're yoked with, because who you're yoked with determines a lot in life. Because God says in His Word to not be yoked with unbelievers. See, when we're yoked with unbelievers, being yoked means being in agreement with being in agreement. That's what being yoked means. So what are you in agreement with? I want to tell you how important it is to be in agreement with the right people. See, Hagar was Abraham's... Okay. Baby mama. Something like that. Baby mama. Baby mama kind of deal. Okay? Baby mama. And the story's in Genesis 17. Was baby mama. Yeah, I want to call her baby mama. She was the baby mama. Okay? And she had Ishmael. Okay? And then it was time for Ishmael and Hagar to go. Isaac was here, and Abraham was like, deuces. And Hagar was tore up. She was messed up. So what did they do? They left. And she says she put the boy bow's length underneath the tree, and then she went her way and she cried. And the Lord heard her and said, I heard the cry of the lad. Listen. God didn't hear her cry. God heard the boy's cry. Why? Why, Tiff, Ishmael was the whatever, the offspring. Why? Because of who his daddy was. Because of who his daddy was. Let me tell you something. I'm watching who I'm yoked with. Let me tell you somebody else, if you're not getting this. King David and Saul, it said they had a love for each other, that they loved, that David loved Saul like he loved his own soul. And they made a covenant together. Now, it was crazy for Saul and David to even have a covenant together. Saul was Jonathan's dad, okay? So it was crazy for David to even be in relationship with him because this was the king's son. And like any normal person, why would you, you know, that's weird. But anyways, they had a love covenant between each other, okay? And Jonathan and Saul died. And Jonathan had a son, Mephibosheth. And when David became king, he said to his servant, call Mephibosheth here. Now Mephibosheth, I don't know if I'm saying that name right. Mephibosheth, okay, close enough. You guys get it. Was crippled. When he was 5 years old, the servant fell on him. She took off running when she heard the news, and she fell on him, so he was crippled. So he had a hard way to go, this little Mephibosheth. So anyways, he gets called to the king's courts, okay? He gets called to King David's palace, right? It's got to be me, guys. He gets called to King David's palace, and I could imagine little feeble Mephibosheth being like, why is he calling me in here? What's going on? And David blessed him. David said, you know what? You come and eat at my table. I'm going to give you everything that belonged to your father. Why? Because David remembered his covenant with his father. Let me tell you something today. Your Lord remembers the covenant that you made. And that's why intercession is so powerful. That's why, get up there and play somebody. That's why it's so powerful to be in right relationship with people. Because you don't know what God can do. You don't know the power. See, Hagar was not in promise with God. She was an Egyptian woman, but Abraham, the father of Ishmael, was in covenant with God. So you know what that meant. When you see to God's business, he sees to your business. And yes, because of the promise, Hagar ended up getting blessed. God took care of her because of the covenant. God sees the covenant. God is a covenant keeper kind of God. And let me tell you the best news about it. He still makes covenant today. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you, that you could have the new covenant that promises you eternal life, that promises you restoration, that promises you joy and everlasting promises. So I encourage you today to stand and fight. I encourage you today to be mindful of your connections. I encourage you today to not give up, to keep going, to keep persevering. Don't let the pain and the stress and the agony confuse you and make you think, I'm not in the will of God. I'm not doing what God called me to do. I'm never going to get my breakthrough. He's never going to be saved. He's never going to be delivered. It's never going to happen for me. I'm never going to be able to preach. I'm never going to be able to get ahead in life. Those are lies from the enemy. And let me tell you what, when you seek him first and put him first, he honors a kingdom principle. He honors his word. Are we honoring his word tonight? His word cuts like that double-edged sword, cutting and piercing between division and marrow tonight. His word goes in deep. His word has everlasting life for you. His word makes you live. His word brings you alive. I encourage you today that if you need a breakthrough, if you need change, it's not about being a perfect Christian. It's not about having all the right things to say. It's not about memorizing all the verses. That's not the goal, church. It's about living in relationship with God. It's about living in true obedience. And I encourage you today to ask God to examine your heart, to ask God, what is in my heart? Lord, do I have any idols? Am I seeking to promise more than I'm seeking you? Am I putting the desire before you, God? Am I putting business before you, God? Lord, I'm always thinking, I was grown up to think that if I don't do business, God, if we don't do this, if we don't do that, how's that going to happen? Seek first the kingdom. Ask God what's his way. Ask God to lead you. Ask God to destroy you. Why? Because I read it earlier. Everything is God's business. Everything that brings life is his business. His word brings life to your situation. His word brings restoration. And there was many people in the Bible that experienced an obstacle. And I come to encourage somebody that's trying to do the work of the Lord and you've been hit with all these obstacles. God is saying don't give up. God is saying keep moving forward. God is saying that when he touches you, and that's what he wants to do to you tonight. He wants to touch you. He wants that supernatural power to be inside of you. He wants you to walk in supernatural faith. He wants it for you. He desires you to have it. But it doesn't mean, baby girl, that you're not going to have an obstacle. See, you, when you have strength, it's not for your own ability. It's to show what God can only do. Jacob had a purpose, and he encountered a well. And this well had a stone around it. But earlier, he had a vision of angels descending and ascending Jacob's ladder. And he was faced with an obstacle. But God gave him the strength to remove a stone that would have took 12 men to do. So what can a touch from God do? Don't believe the lies that, oh, God can't do it through me. Why would God want to touch me? Why wouldn't he want to touch you? He loves you. He has so much crazy love for you that he sent his son for you. That word is the word that we stand on today. And let me tell you one more thing, church. If you're not standing on for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And we are living in a time and an age and a day where you got to make a choice. You got to stand for something. You got to believe something. You got to have some kind of something in you. My God, are you just going through life, through the motion, living for yourself, living for one thing? When God says he's got many things, God says he's preparing a feast, God says he's sending out his invitation. Amen. God is preparing heaven for you. He's preparing your mansion. He's preparing your crown. Do you believe it tonight? Or is it just a thing of the past? Is it just something that's for everybody else? Would God want to use our people? Is there going to be our people in heaven? What is it about? What have we come to this place for? We can't stay here. Remember, you can't stay here. This is not a place to stay. See, Mephibosheth, when he went away and he was crippled, he was in a place that meant unpastured. We sometimes live in unpastured places as the children of God. We stop praying for healing. We stop praying for loved ones. We stop praying for change. Why? Because we don't see it happen. Because we're not, no change is going on. We stop loving. Why? Because everybody's mean to us. Nobody called me for lunch. Nobody loves me. No, I don't have any friends. Well, let me tell you, where love is not hated, there you're going to be filled with something. Where faith is not doubted, you're going to be filled with something. What are you filled with? What are you filled with? Why have you stopped praying for that loved one? Why? Why? The enemy wages war over that soul. Yes, he does. The enemy wants that soul. But God wants your soul even more. And God desires for that soul to be saved. You don't have to live burdened. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live stressed out. But you know what you got to do? You got to ask. You got to ask. See, there's a skill to prayer that nobody talks about, and it's listening. See, there's skills that we talk about speaking, but let me tell you something. There's a skill that nobody taught me but the Holy Spirit. and that's to listen. See, we can go in prayer, and let me tell you, we can ramble this mouth all you want. But let me tell you, there's a time that when you're with your Father God, that you don't got to speak a word. That you let Him speak them words, and then you repeat them words. But that takes an intimacy. That takes a covenant. That takes a skill. See, let me tell you something. Spiritual warfare, you're not born fighting. You're made into a fighter. See, a soldier has to go to boot camp to learn how to fight. See, spiritual warfare is a skill. When you acquire a skill, you have to practice. See, there's many different kinds of weapons for warfare. See, there's not just one. And God desires to teach you how to use your weapons. God desires to mature you how to use your weapons. And babies don't get weapons. Babies take milk. So it's time that we commit. It's time that we eat the food. See, when a baby's in a process of growing, it's on a scheduled eating plan. Amen. And see, just like with us, we have to have a scheduled time with Father God. It can't be something, oh, I need this bill paid. Oh, well, she's getting on my nerves today. No, 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 no. God, I'm going to meet you and I need to meet you. God, I need my feeding. I'm hungry. God, I need my feeding. And that's how you grow. See, a baby, you just can't give it a bottle one time. And let me tell you, one touch from God is not enough. He desires to encounter you and touch you many, many times. But it's to do the work that He's called you to do. And I encourage you today to commit your ways to God. And then He'll lead you. But He needs your yes. He needs your answer. He desires. He's already, she confirmed it. He's already poured out His Spirit on all sons and daughters, on all flesh. That the younger is prophesying and the old man is seeing dreams. He's already did it. He's already doing it. Are we going to get in on it though? That's the question. See, the God is going to come. The rapture is going to happen. Or whatever happens first. It's all going to take place. But God is making a special invitation to you tonight. Are you going to be included? Are you going to say yes to the invitation? The answer is only yours. But here's the deal. You can't stay here. That's it. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving. God is moving. You can't stay here. Take courage. Take courage. We can sit and talk about the rapture and make predictions all you want. I don't give ear to it. Why? What does it matter anyways? I have to be prepared. I have to armor up. I have to read my word. I have to study the scripture. What does it matter either which way? Only God knows the time. He said we can discern the seasons. What does it matter though? Would it change my commitment today? Let's be honest. What's messing you up? Do we think we got more time? Are we still buying that? Oh, I got time. Oh, let me just wait till I have a kid. Let me tell you what. Stop being a kid and grow up. Stop being a kid and grow up. It's time to put the foolish things away. It's time to look in the mirror and examine our hearts. And with saying that, I want to lead us into Holy Communion today. And I want you to examine your heart. Pass the communion out. I want you to examine your heart. I want you to ask God, what's in my heart? What's in me, God? What's in me, God, that will destroy me? What's in me, God, that's not of you? What's in me, God, that's trying to steal your glory? What's in me, God? Pass the communion. happening? Is everybody enjoying it? Is this okay? Everybody to have communion that wants communion. So we're going to stand up and we're going to ask Father God to examine our heart, because it's only the Spirit of God that can take the blinders off of your eyes and that can give you ears to hear and a heart to receive. No man could do that. That's a work for God. So it's only God that can take the scales off your eyes, that can open your heart to receive the word. And we are going to have altar call, and God is going to speak to you. And see, you have to be awakened now, because the enemy is going to come and try and take that seed. That bird wants that seed. And see, now we have to guard it. See, now we're awakening and we're aware, because we're getting equipped, amen. Because we're realizing that the battle is ahead. And wherever there's a battle, there is a victory. And there is a victory. You're not fighting a battle that doesn't have a game from it. You're fighting a battle that comes with territory. Who wants more territory? Who wants their prayers answered? Who wants to see a victory tonight? Are you sick and tired of it delaying? It's time to move forward. It's time to make up your to make a decision. And the enemy, let me tell you one thing about him. He is inferior of a person, of a Christian that walks in their identity, that knows that God loves them and that has their mind made up. Let me tell you what, he is inferior. He is shaking in his boots. But we come tonight not to tiptoe through the enemy's kingdom. I come tonight to shake them gates of hell, to tell them, guess what, devil? I'm coming back for every soul that you've ever sold. I'm coming back for the territory. I'm coming back for the land. I'm coming for it. You can't take it. You can't have them. We will fight and we will wage war till there's not a pulse in my body, till the Lord calls me up or he comes back. So when you take your communion tonight, it's personal. It's between you and God and nobody else. But repent and ask the Lord to examine your heart. Ask him to examine your ways.